the show. You're listening to 101.9 FM. This is the Morning After Show. Stick around because we have a special guest, special interviews today. We have We Need Surgery. We were listening there to their latest CD. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
And we have a couple of interviews with film directors from the International Film Festival. So stick around. In the meantime, let's listen to a Mexican band. This is...
¿En dónde está padre?
Ahora que nos conocemos mejor, mamá. Ven acá y dime.
De pura bajada, quien piense que no llueve sobre mojado, aliviana mejor que aquí truena sobre empapado. Duermo en el lodo, antes tenía una cama, tenía edredón, ahora tapa de caja. Estaba usando a mi perro de almohada y topé unas tortillas y no queda perro nada.
No comeremos mañana ni hoy, honey. Nos comeremos aquí entre los dos, nena. No comeremos mañana ni hoy, honey. Nos comeremos aquí entre los dos.
Proteínas de una caguama, logré levantarme para pedir chamba. Salí a la calle a ver quién me aliviana y aquí estoy de rebote gracias a un cerdo con su macana. Comida ni chamba, bendita en mi alma que no vale nada. Quisiera rentarla pero ya no aguanta, así que eche baja, baja. Quito el roto, ya no la levanta.
No comeremos mañana ni hoy, honey. Nos comeremos aquí entre los dos, nena. No comeremos mañana ni hoy, honey. Nos comeremos aquí entre los dos.
Thank you.
We're back here, 101.9 FM. This is the morning after show on CITR. And we're here with some of the guys from We Need Surgery, Valentino, Micho, and Brandon. Hey, guys.
Hola.
We're here previewing their CD, We Need Surgery, self-titled. Pretty new, no?
Pretty new, man.
So we started the show with the song Simon Says that we're listening there in the back. And after them, we listened to Molotov with Noko. And we were listening there to Gang Signs with Counting on You. So, yeah, We Need Surgery, they are going to be performing this, next Friday the 19th, at the British Ex-Servicemen Association with Fine Times and Bristol Scouts. So that's going to be an awesome show, $10 cover charge. And the story of We Need Surgery is a very unusual one, no?
Uh-huh.
Yep. You guys met in Korea, so I don't know why you guys tell a little bit about how the band was born.
Okay. For us, it's not really that unusual. I don't think for me it's not, but I guess, I don't know. We all kind of met randomly teaching English in Korea. And we started out just like a hobby weekend sort of band, and just kept getting better and better, and we just got more serious about it. And Brandon and myself, oh, this is Micho talking, by the way, we met 8 years ago, started a band called Sun Radio. Then we met this guy, Valentino, and...
I met Micho on a dating site. I picked him up.
Yeah.
It was pretty hot. And then We Need Surgery was born.
Cool. And then, yeah, so you have a... two guys from the USA,
yep.
Then two Canadians,
yep.
And then
one Korean.
Korean guy.
Yep. Jung-gyu.
Johnny.
We miss you, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a hard time getting him to Canada.
Oh, yeah?
For the moment, visa problems.
Visa issues, yeah.
Yeah, I know. This government is, like, crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're trying to get out. He's trying to get in. We don't know what's going on.
So the band is like 2 years old or more than
well,
that?
No,
yeah,
it's
good bit more.
2007 we started out as We Need Surgery.
Yeah. We Need Surgery.
Yeah, very early 2007.
Yeah, so.
So it took us, 5 years to get a record out. It took us a while.
Yeah, but we're playing in Asia for the first 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
you're not going to get a record deal in Asia.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, especially if you're an illegal immigrant like I was. You're not getting a record deal from nobody. So once we got back to Canada, once we all got back here, then we finally got our record deal, and we released our album 2 weeks ago. First album.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool album.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking with Brandon last time you were here in the show was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And you had that little EP, Simon Says.
Yeah, that's what we recorded in Korea and brought with us to Canada.
Right. Yeah.
And actually, that's the first four songs on our record are the songs that we did in Korea. So, yeah.
Is it the first four? Let's see.
Simon Says Stranger.
Simon Says we did not do in Korea.
Oh, we didn't.
Yeah. We did that one with Futcher, producer Futcher, in... Sugar Tea Studio in Vancouver. Stranger was recorded in Korea. Cocoon was recorded in Korea. And Why Is It Always Gotta Be This Way was recorded in Korea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Song 2, 3, 4.
That's the EP we brought to Canada to shop around to get us the record deal. So, yeah, that's why we brought it to you 2 years ago. And you had us on back then.
Yeah.
Helping us get our start in Vancouver.
And then you had like a couple of... of record labels, no, fighting for the right to publish the CD, or what's the story behind that?
Oh, go ahead.
It was just who had the better offer. That's all it was, really.
And they were both coming to our shows, and they had people coming and checking us out, and definitely were very interested in what we were doing at the time, and then. The best offer we got, we grabbed it. So
yeah.
We're with Light Organ now.
So Light Organ Records. And so the show on Friday the 19th, these bands are also in Light Organ Records.
Fine Times.
Yeah. Fine Times. And they just released a record as well.
Oh yeah? Okay.
That's really good too.
Yeah, they're doing really well with their first release. It came out the week before our album, actually.
Oh yeah, okay. Cool. Probably.
So this is actually kind of a light organ showcase number two coming out for this next show, October 18th.
And it's also like the 1 year anniversary of the Indie Pop Vancouver series there at the Legion. So
is it?
Yeah, it's been like 52 weeks doing shows there. So
awesome!
I heard really good things about that place.
It's really fun. It's really fun. Good parties and like over 150 musical acts have been parading through that place. So excited for the 19. So let's play a song from the CD. Which one should we play?
I don't know. Why don't you choose?
Should we play? Let's play Cocoon. No, I really like this song. Okay. And let's listen to some ads in the meantime, and we'll be right back. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
CITR 101.9 and Union Events are proud to be showcasing several excellent punk bands at the Vogue Theater this October 18th. They've got the unlimited creative and passionate Less Than Jake. They've got the infectious hyperkinetic Real Big Fish. And to top it off, they're unleashing Flatfoot 56, a band re-energizing the Celtic roots of hardcore punk. Tickets are available online at thevoguetheater.com for $28.50. But don't miss your chance to dance this October 18th at the Vogue Theater. It's going to be sick. On October 18th, the Lab Art Show is bringing you a night of amazing cultural art to benefit the Huicho Aboriginal people. There will be a showcasing of the eclectic works from Jacob Hiltz and Chili Tom, as well as powerful musical performances by The River and The Grove. Over 30 different artists are coming together under one roof, so don't miss out on this wealth of talent. October 18th at 560 Seymour. Sponsored by CITR 101.9. We'll be right back.
So that was Cocoon from We Need Surgery. Pretty cool song. Let's play it again. Okay, so yeah. So the CD was like 2 years in the making, really. Eh?
Yeah, it was too long, man.
But it's gonna be a classic, no?
It already is, man. 1 week and it's become a classic.
Two.
Or 2 weeks.
What about shows? Which shows have you played since you came back?
Just a few. We played at this little place called The Corner downtown. Then we played at 560. And... the Cobalt.
Oleo Festival.
Cobalt. Okay. That was with Fine Times in Wadash Falls as well. Okay. Light organ bands. That was their showcase.
That's it, man. Nobody knows who we are. Not enough shows in Vancouver. Yeah.
And so is it hard to play without the other guitar player?
It's not necessarily hard. It just kind of sucks for us.
Yeah, it's not.
That's
good.
What I was going to say. One reason we're not doing tons of shows is... Well, we like doing shows. We want to do a lot and get our music out there more, but we feel kind of wrong playing without him.
Yeah, I feel guilty about it a lot.
And it doesn't sound as good. And he's sad that he's over there, and we're sad that he's not here. So it's kind of, we do shows because we have to, but ideally we would have him here and then do
shows.
You guys
are doing a great job promoting our next show.
In any case,
it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. We're doing fine.
It is, but personally, we missed the guy we wanted on stage with us.
We played without him for years.
Yeah, I mean, the first 5 years, he was never in our band.
Yeah.
It wasn't
then he was in our band for 1 year, and then he got booted from Canada. And now we're back to the first.
He's in Korea?
Yeah.
He's in Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is, they are right. It is funner. To play with him because we like him and we like being with him. He's our
friend. He rocks on stage.
Yeah, he rocks on stage. Yeah, he brings.
Well, you know, ask anybody who's seen us without him. Our shows are epic without him. And then just imagine what they're going to be like when you add him.
Exactly.
Holy crap!
Cool. Yeah. miss that energy sometimes on stage.
Yeah.
For us, anyways.
Okay. Well, we're gonna do an interview with Eva Scholtes. She did a film about Lou Harrison, so we're gonna give her a call. I think she's in Vancouver. But in the meantime, let's listen to another We Need Surgery song, and then we should probably get some Fine Times there on the
Yeah.
We have a couple of requests too, so yeah, pretty eclectic and full show. So be right back.
Wasting all your time.
So we're listening to We Need Surgery. They have their debut CD. So we heard Stranger and Why It's Always Gonna Be This Way. So one of my favorite songs. And yeah, we have Eva on the phone. Eva Scholtes. Hi, Eva. How are you?
Good. How are you, Oswaldo?
Fine. Thank you. So Eva was here in Vancouver with her documentary, Lou Harrison, A World of Music. Lou Harrison is one of the best composers of the 20th century. So
thank you for saying that. I agree with you about that, actually.
Yeah, I guess. That's why you made the documentary, no?
Exactly. I know, it's true. But a lot of, you know, most people have never heard of him. And so it's a kind of an important thing to text in the world, you know, to get his work out. Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about him and why do you think he's one of the great composers of the last century?
Well, you know, to begin with, I love the music. I mean, so I think one has to go with one's heart when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. And I, in my life, have been a music producer and, you know, produced, oh gosh, maybe 1,000 concerts. And the music that is really lasting, that really sticks with you, kind of rises to the top. And that is how I came to really feel about Lou's music. And I was fortunate, you know, in my early career, worked with a lot of composers, a lot of American composers, worked with John Adams, Steve Reich, Philip Glass. They all gave little concerts at this chamber music hall where I produced the work. And Lou's music always rose to the top. Well, for one thing, in those years, very few composers were both interested in world music and in what you'd call classical Western music.
Uh-huh.
And Lou was one of the few people that I knew in that regard. I myself was studying Bharatanatyam, classical Indian dance, and my day job was as a chamber music producer. So Lou and I really connected, you know, on that front too. But in the ensuing years, what I began to realize about him is that he was an amazing craftsman musically.
Mm-hmm.
He was 100% a humanitarian person who, you know, counted himself a citizen of the world. He's not just an American. He was a citizen of the world, and he regarded the music of other cultures extremely highly. And he spent years, you know, studying Chinese music and then actually passed it on to Chinese people in America who had studied Western music in China. So he was helping to preserve their, you know, tradition in a time when that tradition was wiped out, you know, culturally in their own country.
Mm-hmm.
He studied very, very, very intensely Korean music that he fell in love with and became an expert, and actually wrote a book on Korean court music with one of the top musicians, you know, top experts in Korea. But that book never got published, but it's an amazing, amazing treatise on classical Korean court music. He also then went on to learn the gamelan, and not only learn the gamelan from Indonesia, but to, with his partner Bill Kovig, to build entire sets of Javanese gamelan, with, you know, the metallic parts being tuned beautifully to where a Javanese person, I heard an account of somebody who was outside the room and had never seen the set of instruments because they looked different than the Javanese ones. But they were saying, what set of instruments is that? I don't recognize it, but they totally recognized it as Javanese.
Uh-huh.
So then from that, Lou, you know, began to bring some of that work, you know, with his own imagination into Western music and into a kind of sound palette that people in the West could understand and, you know, and could hear. And so it was about the fact also early on he was a dancer, and he had a very long lineage of composing for dancers. You know, the time he composed with, you know, well, way back when, people we, you know, might not have heard of, but, you know, eventually Jose Limon and Merce Cunningham and Jane Erdman, who was married to Joseph Campbell, and then, you know, in the more recent realm, Mark Morris. So not only did we have this combination of bringing the whole world's tuning systems and sounds and instruments and into the palette, we also have, you know, a deep understanding of Western music and a really, really wonderful kinetic sense. So that blues music is really for people. It just soaks right into your body, and, you know, and it's, you know, he would say music is a song and a dance. And he really believed in, you know, the danceability and in the beautiful melodies. I mean, he was ultimately an amazing melodicist. So in a time when the rest of Western world was writing 12-tone music that was very, very difficult for audiences to listen to and on purpose difficult that way, Lou had moved on and was writing beautiful melodies, saying, you know, that's the audience's take-home pay. You know, they come, you know, it's kind of an enlightening experience listening to his music. And a lot of times it sounds deceptively simple, but his music is really not simple. It's very, very hard won for him as a composer to come to that place where people can hear a simplicity and, you know, everything is stripped away, but, you know, what is essential in the music, which he says he learned that from Schoenberg, you know, that just keep it simple, only say what you mean. And it's a very, very difficult thing to arrive at. I mean, people think that, oh, he must have just jotted off these tunes. No, he sweated and tears and blood. I mean, it was very difficult and, you know, gut-wrenching process for Lou.
He was an activist too, no?
Very, very much. And that goes along with the humanitarian part of his life. You know, I think it's, you know, musically, he wrote peace pieces. He wrote in the language of Esperanto. He, when they were doing bomb testing in the South Pacific, he had a Geiger counter. Then he would count, you know, the Geiger counter makes this little noise when it's detecting radiation. He put that into a piece of music so that people understood that they were being irradiated. Yeah, you know, here's the source of that sound is radiation in the air, and he amplified it and made it a piece of music that he presented publicly. But, I mean, even beyond that, he was an activist for world peace. He was an activist for gay rights. And felt very deeply. And he, not only that, later in life, he became an activist for the rights of bonobos, which were another kind of, not a chimpanzee, but another, you know, species that had been discovered that had a lot of traits of humans. Mm-hmm. Felt that he was an ancestor of the bonobo, not the chimpanzee, because of what their behavior is, very free sexually with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So Lou said, yes, I'm bonobo. I'm not chimpanzee, you know, the warriors. And he also spent years and years and years studying American Sign Language. He had a group of deaf people that would come to his house every week, and he studied diligently, and it was something he loved. So he was an activist. It's in every way that he believed in. At the end of his life, he pushed the technology of building and built a straw bale house that quantified straw as a structural material that didn't depend on wood for its structure. Because he said, you know, America grows enough straw in 1 year to satisfy all of our building needs. We don't have to cut down trees. So, in every way, he was an activist. And one thing I found out about, you know, after he died, I had access to all of his material. I mean, I knew him for, of course, many, many, many years and worked with him closely while he was alive. But I found out so much more after he passed away. And he had, in New York in the 40s, it had a black lover who was a reverend. And because Lou was a music critic, he couldn't get refused into, you know, establishments that were segregated at that time. The 92nd Street Y, lots of musical establishments didn't allow blacks. Well, Lou brought his lover with him, and he was the reviewer. He could do it. So he was very early on involved in civil rights. And, you know, as he would say, being gay, he was part of the permanent the largest permanent minority mm-hmm. in the world.
How long did it take you to do the documentary? Because he passed away in 2003, no?
He did, yeah. So that was almost 10 years ago. You know, I was collecting footage for a very long time. I recognized in Lou somebody who was very, very important to have live on in his own voice after he passed away. And so there's one piece of footage in the film that I shot in 1984. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, when I saw him, I'd have my camera. I just had made a decision to document the great artists that I was fortunate to have in my life. And Lou was one of them. But became the primary focus. I mean, I have other long-form documentaries of artists that I've been collecting that haven't been edited yet, but this one really took me a long time. I mean, the editing alone was over 10 years, you know. I mean, I started it before Lou passed away, but... And then after he passed away, I realized that it was not originally going to be a biography, but I realized now that he's gone, it actually needed to be a biography, so... I took, you know, the opportunity to do a whole lot of more interviews with people, and eventually it just took me this long to be in a situation where I could really devote the time and, you know, and had, you know, a little bit of a budget to finish it. Because basically I'm living in Joshua Tree now, like right from where I'm sitting, I can see the straw bale house that Lou built.
Oh, yeah.
So I live down here now, and I mean, you know, yesterday I was in Vancouver, today I'm in mm-hmm. Joshua Tree. Mm-hmm. But I started an artist residency program and a music program in that house because it's such a beautiful place for music.
And how was the reception of the film here in Vancouver at the International Film Festival?
Well, I think that... the people that came to see it were very, very moved. I mean, I was very touched by the comments and the Q&A afterwards and the wonderful reception. I think in general, getting people to hear or to see a classical music film is an uphill battle. And, you know, I was realizing, I mean, but once there, people just really felt that they'd gotten to know Lou and wanted to run out and, you know, get copies of his music. And what makes me the happiest, I think, at every screening that I've had, including at Vancouver, there were young people there that were discovering him for the first time. And for me, that's really why I did it, you know, to pass on the knowledge of his music and who he was and how he lived and how, you know, difficult it is to have a life as an artist, but it's also a joyful thing. And so just to pass that on to the next generation. So that made me very, very happy, you know, and I think it was very well received.
Cool. Yeah, well, thank you for bringing the film to Vancouver, and thanks for the interview.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's my pleasure, and if somebody wants to know more about the film or to see where it's screening, they can go to my website, which is harrisondocumentary.com, and... they could also, you know, there's a place to you know, to find updates and so forth. And the DVD will get published eventually. And, you know, okay. If somebody wants to leave me a name, we'll let them know when it's out.
Cool. So, yeah, so thanks. That's Eva Soltes or Soltes.
And, yeah, either way.
either way. And the webpage, again, is harrisondocumentary.com. Check it out. It's a really cool documentary. So congratulations for
that. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, and come back to Vancouver.
Oh, thank you. I would love to. I really enjoyed it there, and the hospitality of the film festival was just the greatest, and the weather was beautiful, so I really loved it, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, no problem. It's a great festival. So thanks, Eva, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye as well, though.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
CITR 101.9 and Union Events invite you to an intimate night at the Rio Theater with Adam Cohen on October 19th. His elegant and charismatic melodies are sure to set the right mood. So bring a loved one, sit back, and experience a beautifully romantic evening to make you fall in love all over again.
I know what you look like in the morning.
Tickets are available at unionevents.com or Ticketmaster for only $30. So remember to save the date and enjoy the classic atmosphere of the Rio Theater with Adam Cohen. Nothing on but the radio.
With the vast amount of changes happening in the world, it's almost impossible to get a clear picture of what's really going on.
We are trapped within the logic of capitalism, leaving us unable to imagine what comes next.
The Extra Environmentalist brings the perspectives of people who can see the whole picture and are ready for whatever comes our way.
Tune in to the Extra Environmentalist every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
This is the viewpoint that makes all places the same to you.
So we're back here, 101.9 FM. We're here with the voice of We Need Surgery. We're listening to their new album, which is really cool. Where can people find the album, though?
Online, webpage? iTunes and Amazon and all those places. I don't know about stores, but it should be available.
It should be in stores pretty soon. I heard it's going to like Best Buy and Walmart and stuff like that, the physical copies.
For the physical copies,
maybe. Chapters.
Chapters.
I'm not sure about that.
Cool. Yeah. About Zulu Records, High Life, all those.
Yeah. Let's hope so.
Yeah. Neptune.
But right now it's just available on iTunes and it's pretty cheap. It's like $10.
And Amazon.
And Amazon.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, if you want the actual physical copy, you can order it.
Or come to the show on the 19th. No?
Or come to the show on the 19th and pick yourself one up and we'll
get it signed.
We'll sign it for you.
It has a little nice poster there too.
Yeah, it comes with a poster.
So what's the idea behind the design of the CD? Who did it? Or
I chose the photo, and we all liked the photo. I mean, I didn't enforce anything on anybody. We all decided
it was one
together.
Of Valentino's ideas, and we all just liked it right away. Yeah. We just kind of tweaked it a little bit.
And it has no meaning behind it. I mean, as you can see, the cover of the album is a poster of the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels right, and that's all it is. That's all it means, is you listen to the music and you look at this photo and you're in the right place.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 19th, you'll be sharing the stage with Fine Times, Bristol Scout. So let's listen to Fine Times, no? So people know.
Yeah, let's check them out.
What are they going to listen on the 19th? This song is called A Judas. And we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Fine Times. Pretty cool band, eh?
A great
awesome.
Song.
Yeah,
that's a great song. Yeah.
Let's play another one, huh?
Yeah,
sure.
Awesome. Okay. Lions.
So this is Lions. Fine Times playing on the 19 at the British Ex-Servicemen Association, 1143 Kingsway, we need Surgery, and Bristol Scout. So influences, because there's a myriad of bands that always people tell me when they listen to We Need Surgery.
Like, I know.
Oh, they sound like the Killers, like Joy Division, like, I don't know.
Television, people have been saying Television a lot. We've been getting all these comparisons in a lot of reviews lately, and I don't know.
Bravery. What's another one? But we also hear some old stuff. Talking Heads, David Bowie. One guy referenced recently.
Yeah.
A lot of those people kind of come to mind. But here's the weird thing that I want to reply to all these reviewers and critics sometimes is like, it's odd because I know that most of the guys in my band didn't listen to those bands. They weren't fans of those bands that were being compared to.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Some of them, yeah, but I don't think there are any of those bands that were being compared to that all of us like. So there's obviously no way that we could have intentionally tried to sound like that band.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't intentional.
It was an eclectic mix.
I don't mind the comparisons of people. Sure. They're really good, so all the bands, but yeah, it's funny that we weren't really influenced by 90% of the bands that people compare us to, so
yeah.
Now, but you guys have your own particular style, so that's really cool.
Yeah, that's, you know, what
that's
we're
what
going
we
for.
Hope that people will see in it that it is our style,
recognize our music right when they hear it.
When
our new music comes out, they'll be like, oh, that's We Need Surgery right on. So
yeah, it's cool if they say we sound like someone, that's fine, but to assume that we're influenced by them is a totally different story. We're influenced by completely different bands.
Yeah.
The Smiths, we're influenced by the Smiths, and nobody has made any comparisons.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's ever been mentioned in any.
Yeah.
So the Smiths is one of your favorite bands?
It's absolutely
definitely his favorite.
Your favorite or what?
Yeah, me? One of mine.
Definitely in the top, but yeah. I don't know. Everyone asks me my favorite band, and I can't really answer that question.
Couple, three, four.
Diana Ross.
Yeah. really into Gangnam Style these days. Yeah. So that's
The Cure.
Pretty much it.
Yeah.
Since Paul's not here, I'll just vote for him. His favorite band is the new Usher album. Yeah, that's his new favorite album.
Okay.
So Usher. He's a big Usher fan.
He likes Usher.
Possibility likes that Usher. We will go in that direction for album two. We're not quite sure.
When is album two?
I'd like it to be
sooner than later. Yeah,
definitely. I would like to release at least an EP.
More 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, at least an EP by like early 2013.
Okay.
Release something, and then maybe have an album out by the summer. That would be ideal for us to have an album out for the summer, before the summer.
We've got a lot of good song ideas right now. No finished songs, but a lot of sketches.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going to play something new on the 19th?
Yeah, we're going to play something new.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so let's. We have a couple of requests here, so let's start with.
We got a request from Paul. He was also an engineer at Armory Studio, and he requested Fall, I believe. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so Fall by We Need Surgery.
So this is for you, Paul. Thanks, buddy, for all your help.
This is for you, Paul.
To where I'm going. is how I get to where I'm going. This is how we get to where we are.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
CITR is proud to sponsor the 17th Amnesty International Film Festival, taking place November 2nd through the 4th at Pacific Cinematheque Theatre in downtown Vancouver. The festival will show 9 films from around the world, which will highlight a variety of human rights matters and will include guest speakers, the presence of other community groups, and ways for the public to take action on said matters. So come join in on one of the biggest human rights film festivals in the country. For more information or to buy tickets, you can check out www.amnesty.ca/VFF.
Yeah, so that was We Need Surgery. That was a request for Paul. The song was Fall. Okay, so we have another request. This song is dedicated to Jordan Gray for Band Music, bandmusic.ca.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jordan.
Yeah, actually. Jordan.
Come out next week to our show.
The CD review is going to be soon up in bandmusic.ca too for Women's Surgery.
Yeah. Nice.
So we'll include the podcast so people can listen to the podcast there.
Excellent.
Awesome. So this is Joydy Deutsch. She dedicates this song to Jordan. So let's listen to it. It's called Little Love Song.
Troubles go away. For now you reside in my heart. I lock it up and hide away the key. And when I find that man of mine, he'll open up my heart, set you to the world, to all the troubles. what your freedom I stole. In time you'll find a heart that beats like mine, who love you and never, he'll love you and never, he'll love you and never let you go.
Okay, so that was Judy Deutsch, the song Little Love Song. So you want to do a plug?
Sure. Yeah, we're doing something on Saturday. Val, you have some information.
Yeah, we will be doing a live interview, and that would be like a video interview. We'll be playing a live acoustic track and all our videos, and it will be on YouTube on the TGN site.
Okay.
YouTube TGN, and it'll be a live feed Saturday at 6 o'clock.
That's October 13th, right?
October 13th, 6 o'clock. Okay. TGN, YouTube, We Need Surgery.
If you check our Facebook, there's also a link to that as well.
Cool. Okay, so we have on the phone Joshua Dylan Millers. Hi, Joshua.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, I'm doing great.
So Joshua is one of the directors of the film Playing Like a Lion, which is about musician Ali Akbar Khan. And he's another guest from the International Film Festival. So how's the festival treating you?
Very well. I'm just so happy to be here. I got in yesterday afternoon, so I haven't even been here 24 hours yet, but I already feel almost like a native. People have been so hospitable here, and not just the festival. I mean, it's great to be in Vancouver. I'm from San Francisco, so I feel like there's a bit of an affinity going on.
Okay. And you just finished the screening of the film, right?
I did, yeah.
How was it?
It was wonderful. I mean, you know, I really love that the audiences here are intelligent and very sensitive, and it was, from what I could see, the perfect audience for this documentary, and kind of the audience that I really wish that I would have when I was making it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the why don't you tell us a little bit about the film and the subject of the film, which is this amazing musician.
Yeah, certainly. Well, Ali Akbar Khan is the man who introduced Indian classical music to the West. He introduced it at the Museum of Modern Art in New York in 1955. And then about 10 years later, he came and set up a music school in California. And at that music school, he ended up influencing and teaching people like Carlos Santana and Mickey Hart of the Grateful Dead, and just thousands and thousands of musicians. He had a big impact on the musicians of the 1960s, all the rock guys, but even up to people like Derek Trucks, the blues slide guitarist, who, you know, is actually quite young. And so the story really, that's the background, but I think the story really tells the story of his young son, who was born in the United States. He's half Indian, half American, and he's taken up this tradition, this very difficult Indian classical music tradition, and this instrument called the sarod, which Ali Akbar Khan plays. And obviously, it's not as accessible these days as something, you know, like rock, but it's a beautiful art form. And so the journey of the film is really seeing Alam Khan, the son of Ali Akbar Khan, going back to India on his first solo concert tour, and then he explores some of the historic sites that are important to this music, and then he comes back to the U.S. and talks to people like Carlos Santana about the influence that his father had on Americans and others playing other kinds of music. So really, though, I think it's a coming-of-age story, and it's a story about a father and son. Obviously, this is about Indian classical music, but it could almost be a father passing on any tradition to his son. I mean, it could even be about baseball. It just so happens this is Indian classical music.
Yeah. So how did you get involved with the project?
I have a great friend who I've known since high school, Mojib Imak, who is from Afghanistan. And Afghanistan and India, there are some affinities there and some shared traditions. And his family have been connoisseurs and patrons of Indian classical music going back several generations. His father, my friend Mojeeb's father, Aziz, loves the music so much that he was actually put on a death list in Afghanistan during towards the late 70s. The Soviets were right about to invade, and at that point, my friend's father, Aziz, was put on a death list, so he had one night to escape Afghanistan. And the only thing he could think about was his Indian classical music and getting that out of the country. He wasn't going to leave without bringing all of it with him. Mm-hmm. And so you can imagine the kind of feelings that the family has for the music. So basically, his father knows all the masters of this music, and when they tour in California, they'll give private recitals in his home for him. And when I was going to do my next documentary, Mo said, why don't we do something about my heritage? He considers this music his heritage. Mm-hmm. I had done a documentary about tango in Argentina and fado music in Portugal.
Okay.
And so that was the beginning of doing this film about Ali Akbar Khan and Indian classical music.
Awesome. So the next screening is October 11th. That's Thursday.
Right.
At 9:15 at the Pacific Cinematheque.
Right.
So don't miss that film. It's really cool. Cool, your film. So
definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great vibe. And like I said, I really feel like there's a nice affinity between a place like San Francisco and Vancouver. So I feel right at home here.
Yeah, cool. Cool. Well, welcome to Vancouver. And thanks for the call. We have to keep it short because we're running out of time here. But
certainly.
Congratulations on your film, on your screening today. And hopefully you will have a sold-out show on Friday.
Definitely. Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Okay. Thanks, Joshua.
Okay. Bye.
So, yeah, we're running out of time, but that's where we're listening there, the Ali Akbar Khan. Pretty interesting music, eh?
Definitely.
Yeah, and the film is really cool. I had the opportunity to watch it, so check it out this Thursday, 9:15. And I don't know if you want to plug any other concerts. We already plug the 19, which is going to be an awesome concert with We Need Surgery, Fine Times, and Bristol Scout. We'll play some Bristol Scout before we go. And I don't know, today, open mic at this place, Hatchery, 3293 West 4th. They're here in Kitsilano. Awesome open mic. Actually, next week we're going to be broadcasting live the open mic on CITR because it's like the 1 year anniversary as well. So that's going to be really cool. So come to say hi. And I don't know if you have any other concerts that you want to plug.
We don't really have anything, but just come to the 19th, and it's going to be a great show with Fine Times and Bristol Scout. Kind of a unique show, I think.
Yeah. Like the new wave, no?
Yeah.
Like
two light organ new wave bands.
Yeah.
Plus our good buddy Travis Smythe from Bristol Scout. And they're a cool band. They sound a lot like Happy Mondays. Or
cool.
Like
yeah, it's going to be a dancing show. Eh?
Yeah, it's people, a dance show for sure.
I will be there dancing for sure.
Awesome. Cool.
And okay, so Antiparty, we have a message from Antiparty. They're playing Subculture 2 art show at Funky Winker Beans this Saturday. So check it out. That's a cool band, Antiparty. So let's listen to a couple of songs before we go. We were talking about this film, Playing Like a Lion, and you have a lion song here on the city, so we can play that.
The chorus.
And then let's play some Bristol Scout. They're also playing on the 19th. Let's play a song called Sun Dance Moon. And we'll be right back here to say goodbye. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Like a lion, just Thank you.
reached the end of the show. This was a morning after show. And that was Bristol Scout, also playing on the 19th at the British Exorcism Association. That's going to be an awesome show, guys. Yeah, looking forward for that. Likewise. So thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you for having us again.
Yeah.
It's fun to hang out with you, dude. Yep. Good times.
Podcast coming soon. And also on November 3rd, Los Furios are going to be playing with the Love Lost and Caracas at the Monster Galleries. That's 136 Powell Street. And so next we have Alex with Mantis Cabaret. He's standing rare. And we'll leave you with the last We Need Surgery song, Wait Forever. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks.